Okay, we're about to embark upon a new sugya. Those who come to the Tuesday night shiurim in the shul, so we've spoken about some of these sugyas from the Sanhedrin angle. Those the Tuesday night shiurim, we learned Sanhedrin, we end up referencing Gittin. Now we're going to be learning Gittin referencing Sanhedrin, so we'll be a little bit of overlap, but bear with us. So the Gemara begins first in Marikomos, it's about Gittin and Avhamad days. The Gemara raises the question, itma b'fnei kamenos dola, in front of how many people must the get be given? Now we have to just make sure we understand exactly what that question is. What the question is not addressing an issue of Edom at all. How many Edom have to, yes, or be not present at a get? We already know this is an issue of Edom Asira Karsi, Edom Chasiba Karsi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Loz, who spent quite some time talking about that this year. So that is not the topic at hand. What the Gemara is raising is how many Dayonim are necessary for a get to be given. Now let's put things into the proper context. Who said anything about Dayanim? We've been learning the Masechta already for 5 months, and we haven't heard the word Beisim, but not really a requirement to be Beisim to be present at a get. The answer is this is talking about a very, very specific get. This is talking about a get that is going to be accompanied with the statement of Befarei Nechtav, i.e., a get that is coming from Chutz Laaretz. So that we can begin to understand why it's necessary for a Beisim to be present. After all, at least according to some opinions, this is a type of a Kiyam Shtaros. This is a place of validating signatures on the get. So that's already a very based in kind of a procedure. Even according to Rabbah, who says that it's based on a concern of Lashma, so there's a Kabbalah's Eidos that's taking place, even though it's only a single aid. That was the whole discussion we had for a long, long time ago, how we accept testimony of a single aid, but we do. So there's an Eidos taking place, there's a Beis taking place. So I understand why we're looking at this sugya through the lens of a Beis Din. So the Gemara begins with, how many of Dayanim have to be present for a get that's given from Medina Sayam, a get that they're required to say before Nechafaydech. So this was between the two Amoraim, whether you require two Dayanim to be present or whether you require three Dayanim to be present. Which the Gemara then goes on to try to prove what the reasons for these two opinions is. Is this related to the issue of why you say Befarei Nechtav? Is it based on perhaps other factors? Well, there's a long, long way. And again, we're going to have following up sugyas in terms of some of the nuances and details of why the magic number two, why the magic number three. But everybody agrees that there's some kind of a Beis Din playing out here. Even though obviously Beis Din, maybe I should backtrack that statement, obviously, but Beis Din probably should require three. How did anybody say two? Well, let's not forget there's a third party here, that's the Shaliach himself. So perhaps the third shaliach actually wears the hat of being a dayan, which again opens up a whole other area of sugyas, which again, there's going to be many, many sugyas that are going to spill, that just spit off of this basic sugya. But the basic sugya that we're starting with is the assumption that you require a Beis Din for the get that is brought in the Nesayam for the specific purpose of saying Befarei Nechtav. The implication of this sugya is that this is the only reason why you require a Beis Din for a get. What about a get that's brought in Eretz Yisrael? What about a get that doesn't have the accompaniment of Befarei Nechtav? Is there anything about a get proper that should require a Beis Din? We don't know. We haven't yet learned. It's already halfway through February. We haven't ever learned about any requirement of a Beis Din. And from the fact that a Beis Din only makes its appearance here at the Hammond Beis would lead us to believe that a regular get, in fact, does not require any shape or form of a Beis Din to be present. So notwithstanding that implication from our sugya, There is a Gemara toward the very, very end of Masechet Gittin that has to be analyzed very, very carefully, because there in Gittin HaPeches, the Gemara actually does talk about Beis Din and nothing to do with B'fai Nech and B'fai Nechtam. What that Gemara does or doesn't say is really going to be the entire basis for our discussion. So comes the Gemara in Gittin HaPeches with Beis and tells us the following story. Abaye Ashkechel Rav Yosef the Yosef HaKoma'ase Agiti. That Abaye saw his Rebbe Rav Yosef that he was forcing somebody to give a get. Now, that in and of itself is a very, very loaded question. You're not allowed to force somebody to give a get. You get asked to get meritzon, habal. The Torah says, v'hayim v'asim zochei v'einav, kibot v'arzadav, v'chal sef krisos. He has to come on his own accord to give the get. So what do you mean you're going to force him to give the get? So there are sugyas, mishnayis, and gemaras about the possibility if the halacha requires a person to give the get. And that could be under many, many different circumstances. Either perhaps the couple is married to Isser, or perhaps the husband is acting in a way that he's not supposed to be acting, or something occurred, or the woman was mazani. There are half a dozen reasons why the husband is required by the halacha to divorce his wife. So then the Mishnah tells us sometimes the Beis Din will actually enforce the giving of a get. They will make him give a get, which the Gemara raises the question, how can you do that? Does it again have to be given miratzon? Where it says, yes, it does have to be given miratzon, but we can get a person to want to do something. That's what's called kofet of so achiyoma rota ani. So if the halacha requires a get to be given and it's done under the right circumstances with the right authority of a Beis Din, so then we can give a get, quote unquote, against his will. Not literally against his will, we can make that be his will. Kofet of so achiyoma rota ani. So this is such a principle in halacha. So comes the Gemara and tells us a story that Rav Yosef was once being ba'asa at a get. Ba'asa means he was forcing somebody halachically to give a get. And Abaye challenged his Rebbe and said, how can we do that? We are hedyotos. Hedyotos means we don't have authentic smicha. There was a whole smicha chain, a whole smicha process. And we said, head and shurim on Tuesday night. We spent a lot of time talking about this. But there was a chain of tradition that started in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe gave it to Sinai, and then he transmitted that chain to Yeshua and to subsequent doors, etc. And that unbroken chain of one appointment, Rebbe to Talmud, of calling him being a samuch, existed all the way till the beginning of the period of the Amoraim. The reason, pretty much, why really dual reason why it came to an end was number one, the Romans were adamant about it ending. The Romans had many persecutions. Actually, many Jews lost their lives over the process of smicha, and also smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. And as the less and less Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael at that point, so smicha became pretty much a thing of the past. So, but the days of Abaye and Rabbi Yosef, Yamarim and Babel did not have smicha. So Abaye challenges Rabbi and says, how can we go ahead and force somebody to give a get? Don't you require a Beis Din to force somebody to give a get? And we don't have authentic smicha. Then the Gemara goes on to explain, how do we know this to be so? What is the source for this halacha that you have to have smicha in order to force giving a get? The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, Me'ela Mishpatim she'tasim b'fneihem, l'fneihem v'lo l'fnei hedyotim. The hedyot refers to someone who can be a great b'chacham, but he's still a hedyot, but he doesn't have that authentic smicha. So the Gemara says, how does it work? What kind of stunt is this that we're forcing people to give gittin? If we are not authorized, we don't have that official smicha, then we don't have the authority to do that. So the Gemara concludes, we go down to three lines from the bottom. So Rabbi Yosef explained to Abaye that we are acting as the agents, as the representatives of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. And even though we personally don't have smicha, we have the cost to do that. How that works, what the mechanism that is, that's a loaded. That's more of a Sanhedrin issue than a Gittin issue. What the nature of shlichus is all about, but bottom line it works. Bottom line, the Gemara says that Gittin can be given based on the principle of shlichus. So if you just read this Gemara and get Peches Beis, you're also faced with a challenge. The Gemara's assumption is that a Beis Din is necessary at the time that this get has been given. Now, whether or not we qualify as having a Beis Din, or whether we have to fall back on some kind of a difficult principle called shlichusayu is another loaded question, but it's clear as day for the Gemara that a Beis Din is absolutely necessary for the giving of a get. Well, the question is that really true? Is that really what the Gemara says? Let's not forget, this is not a regular get. This is a get that's being done ayyadei kfiya. This is a get that's being forced. This is a get where we're in a sense, overriding the simple reading of the pasuk by Muslims, we are forcing the person that Shiyama wrote Sani So perhaps one can argue that that we require a Beis Din for a get, that's if we want to be kaifan a get, we want to force a person to give a get, then you need the special mechanism of Beis Din. And that's what Abaye challenges Rebbe. Once you tell me that you need the special mechanism of Beis Din, we don't have that Beis Din. We are not a Beis Din. We are the Yadav Yoto. So we don't have the authentic smicha, have no authority to force giving it. Vishtate, where does it say in this Gemara Yehinda Peches that all Gittin require a Beis Din? If a fellow comes and he knocks on the rabbi, he goes, Rabbi, I'm willing to give a get quick, get a sofer, right? To get the shoulder in Gemara. Who said you have to come to official formal Beis Din? But just because the Gemara here in that Peches is talking about a Beis Din, maybe that is unique because this is a Beis Din to fulfill the halachas of Kfiyah. Where did that halacha come from? Who taught us? Where did we learn that there's a special halacha of Beis Din for Kfiyah, even in a case where it's not, the case itself doesn't really require a Beis Din? What we're saying at this point is that a Beis Din isn't really necessary for a regular get. There's nothing that's compelling us to have a Beis Din. The only reason we're insisting on Beis Din is because of Kfiyah. Where did that new halacha come from, that Kfiyah requires a Beis Din? So that is probably based on the next of the sources. That's the Tosos in Sanhedrin, the Beis of the Beis, where Tosos poses the following challenge on this Gemara. Tosos says there are two sugyas in Shas that speak about the requirement of having dayanim smuchim. But you have to have a dayan, you have to have someone who has that authentic smicha, ishra pisha, b'ishra beinu. One is the Gemara that we just learned about Gittin, and the other is the Gemara at the very beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin. It talks about when you have Dinei Torah, so you have to have Dayanim, and then Dayanim have to be Dayanim Smuchim. So Tosus points out that if you look carefully, although both Gemaras talk about the requirement of Dayanim Smuchim, they quote very, very different psukim to teach us that halacha. So we take a look at the beginning of the Tosus, Tema, Damash Bahocha, the Tosus Sanhedrin is saying, Hocha meaning in Sanhedrin, through Matina Nebiotos, Melechsid Elohim, it says in the Pasuk, the word Elohim, Elohim, yeah, does not refer to the Ribah, it refers to Dayanim. It uses the word Elohim several times, three times in Parshas Mishpatim. And the Gemara says that that word has the connotation of a very, very choshev leader. It doesn't just mean some Tom, Dick, and Harry. It means three real, real choshev dayanim, i.e. dayanim smuchim. The Gemara says it's that word, v'nikrab olabayis Elohim, etc., that teaches us the requirement of smuchim. The problem is, if a prayer comes to Harry, should get the Gemara we just learned, the Maimon d'chsim v'fnei v'lo t'achav v'nei d'yotos, the Gemara is a totally different source for the din that you require the Yerim Smuchim. The Torah says, Ve'ela Mishpat Mishatasim Mifnehem. In front of these Dayanim, these come to tell us, these very special designated Dayanim, in contrast to Hedyotos, which would not be acceptable. So Tosus challenges us, what is the source for the requirement of Smuchim? Both Gemaras talk about Smuchim, both in Gittin and Sanhedrin, but they're coming up with two very, very different Psukim. So comes Tosus and says, it's a Tupsukim, it's a brisket Torah. The reason why there are two psukim is because there are two different halachas. So we go down to the end of that Mar Mokum with the both Renewal of Farish. To begin the in the middle of the Kfiya Irei, says Tosfos, the Gemara in Gittin is not talking about just the din proper. It's talking about Kfiya. It's talking about forcing. The Ahochi Maisila, the Abai Mashvik of Yosem, the Yosvikam Aste Gittin. That whole context of the Sugi was talking about a very, very special kind of a get. The get that was being forced, to which Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, "Amalei banan adiyot esanon, aval Elohim lavim yilu the Easter Mary." But the pasuk of three times Elohim in the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim is not talking about forcing. But din be alma, it's talking about what we call the kashrus of the din proper. So basically, Tosfos just told us that there's a brisket Torah going on here, that there are two different halachas, two different requirements of Dayanim Smuchim, each one learned from its own psukim, each one playing out in a different sugi in a different manner. So there's one halacha that, in order for a din Torah to be kosher, in order for the din Torah to take effect, in order for the din Torah to be binding, it has to be done by proper Dayanim. And so if we go to three people who are not kosher to be Dayanim, you go to three Mechala Shabbos, that din is meaningless. So even if they give a psak, oh, you'll have to pay. I'm not have to pay. Until you go to an authentic Beis Din, that's a kosher Beis Din, the din is not chal. The concept of going to a Beis Din, the Beis Din issues a psak din, so that's binding on Allah. If you go to Beis Din, paskins, you better pay, you don't pay, you're a gazlan. So that concept of having a psak din There are halachas that govern what constitutes a kosher Beis Din. So one of the halachas that governs a kosher Beis Din is that the Beis Din must be Dayanim Smuchim. So that's why the Gemara raises the question, how do we have Dinei Torah B'zman Hazeh without Smuchim? So the Gemara's answer is, whatever the reasons, whatever the mechanism of how we figure out to have Dinei Torah today. But that sugya in Sanhedrin, which is quoted the Pasuk of Elohim, which is the source for Dayanim Smuchim, that's referring about the Kashrus HaDin. That has nothing to do with Gittin of Peches. Peches is not even talking about something that requires a din in the first place. It's talking about a get. And says tells us, where does it say that a get requires a base? If you take the such a halacha, there's no such din. So what is the Gemara talking about in Gittin of Peches? It's talking about a different aspect of halacha, a different dimension of smuchim. Namely, kfiya requires smuchim. I can't just walk around and bop people over the head. There has to be a certain authority that I have to force people to do things. So that parsha of kfiya and halacha was only given to dayanim, and it was only given to dayanim smuchim, and that's the sugya of Eila Mishpat Mishatosu B'fneya. So now Tosu says, how do we know this? Where does it say in these psukim that the Eila Mishpat Mishatosu B'fneya, the Fneya V'lof, the Yeltos is not talking about the Kashrus HaDin? How do we know, how do we figure this out, that this is referring to the kfiya? So Tosfos explains, the end of the Tosfos, but the mashpel and the isoy milifneim, which is the ashir and the kamon, asher tosim elu kleah dayarim shtach ben sima. So the Tosfos Mapeh figured this out because the word ve'ela mishpat asher tosim, tosim is a very strange word. What it really should have said is ve'ela mishpat asher talamdeim, asher toreim, ve'ela mishpat tosim, tosim means literally to put down. It's almost like physical. Use the word sima, lasim chayfetz. I'm being sam my glass on the table, I'm being sam to safe for the table. The word sima by mishpat is a very, very bizarre phrase. So Tosu says that the word sima, Tashma Pat tells us, refers to the things that the Beis Din brings to work, the physical tools that they use. They have to bring their handcuffs, they got to bring their other physical things that are used in order to enforce din, in order to be clear for people to do things. So because the word tosim b'fneim has that connotation of evil klei adayonim, that's what leads us to believe that this parsha, this pasuk, this drasha is referring to the halacha of smuchin vis-a-vis kfiya, not vis-a-vis the kashrus adin. So basically what Tosfos just did for us is that they showed us that the sugya in Masechet Gittin of Peches is not really talking about whether the guest kosher or not. That's not even a topic. The topic is, do we have the right to force people to do anything? Even though in theory, this guy should be giving a get to his wife, but we don't have the proper jurisdiction. We don't have the authority to force him to do so. So that's what the Gemara is discussing. So you walk away from the Gemara Gittin of Peches, and you realize the same as we walked away from Gittin of Hay, that a regular get doesn't require a Beis Din. We have two Gemaras that talk about Beis Dins for Gittin. One is Gittin of Hay, and one is Gittin Peches. And these both seem to be the exceptions to the rule. In Gittin that, hey, you need a Beis Din because it's a get above a Din Sayyam, and you have to say before Nechta, before Nechta. In Gittin that Peches, you need a Beis Din because you've been Kofer, and Kfiya, Elam Mishpat Shetos Nefrei, requires a Beis Din. But I want a regular get. Leave out the details. Leave out the crazy, the strange case. It's going to be a regular, normal, standard get. A guy wakes up in Eretz Yisrael, willingly going to give a get to his wife. He's there, she's there. We state you need a Beis Din. Why did Adim Masira? Okay, whatever Adim you need, maybe. Where in the world does it say anything about a Beis Din? Neither Gemara, neither Daf Hei, nor Daf Peches speak about a required to a Beis Din. So there is a sugya that appears also at the very beginning of my second head. I thought I had it under my Mekamos. It's a one-line Rashi. It's in head of Beis of an Aleph, so I'll just share it to you about that. The Mishnah at the beginning of my second head is listing off the different numbers of Dayanim, the different Dinei Torah. Some Dinei Torah require 3, and some require 23, and some require 71. Oh, long. My first Mishnah in Sanhedrin is almost an entire block long. List of all the different cases of Mishpat Dayanim. So one of the things that's on the list is something that's called Mi'un. Mi'un is a Mishnah Masechet Yevamos.
Last page, Rashi.
It is on last page. Did it show up on? What number?
Number 5.
Oh, good. Okay, I got it. Yeah, number 5. Okay, right. Thank you. So Mi'un refers to as follows. Rashi, the fifth of Ramakomos, sums up the Mishnah Yevamos. Yisoma Ketana You have a little girl whose father is no longer alive. So technically speaking, there's no way for her to get married. You know, in the days of Chazal, girls get married significantly younger than they do today. I mean, a good part of that reason is that many women didn't live all that long. So people used to get married in teenage years for sure, and sometimes even before that. So comes the halacha tells us that if you have a little girl below the age of 12, there is no mechanism for her to get married on her own unless her father does it for her, because she's la bazda, she cannot create a kiddush, she cannot create a chalos of a king of kiddushin. So if her father's alive, then the father can be able to have a kiddushin for her. If the father's not alive, then she has no chance to be able to get married. So Chazal instituted that we're going to make a kiddushin derabbanan for her. We're going to put her mother and her older brothers in charge, and they're going to hopefully find the Bishinifar, and they're going to be Makabal Kedushin on her behalf. But remember, this is only Kedushin min the Rabbanan. In the Torah, the mother and the brothers do not have that ability to create Kedushin for her, and she's a Labas Das, so she does not have Kedushin Derais. It's only Kedushin the Rabbanan. So we institute that Kedushin, and then the couple is permitted to live together, but they're not really married on a pure level of Derais. And therefore, Chazal built in a certain escape clause into that. Yotze below get b'mir, right before she turns 12. What if she comes and she says, I liked him when I was 9, I don't like him when I was 11 and a half anymore. So she doesn't want to stay married to him anymore. So she doesn't require a get. Why? Because the whole condition was on to her. But anyway, easy come, easy go. Chazal instituted a special kula called Yotze below get b'mir, because man shlo go b'tachtam. That's provided that she's not yet 12 years old. She's already 12 years old. And she's already been together with him now, so now they've had relations. So all of a sudden, that just became a kedushin of Bia, which is a kedushin deraisa. Obviously, she would require real get min haTorah. If Kozman is not yet 12, so the kedushin remained to be derabanan, and they become they can be removed to the principle of miun. Miun is, although it takes up a lot of sugyas at the end of Masechet Yevamos, almost an entire parak dedicated to miun, it's not the most common shaila that we have as manazeh, because we very rarely or never have girls getting married before the age of 12 today. The last miyun that we have historically on record that I know of that took place in Poland in the 1400s. There was a miyun that took place. There are more quotes that he was not involved in it, but he quotes from his Rebbe's Rebbe. The most Rebbe's Rebbe was a man named Yaakov Polak. Yaakov Polak came originally from Germany, and he moved to Poland. It was at the time when the Jews were starting to migrate eastward to Poland, and they were doing it for one very, very good reason. Because the Polish government, somebody tipped them off that the Jews are good at business, and they encouraged them to come. And all you have to do is just tell one of the Jews is a good business, you know, and less of the rest came back. Germany was no great place to be at that time in the 1400s. So the Jews ended up pretty much, that's where probably 99% of our ancestors ended up migrating from Germany to Poland at that period of time. So the Ramah was one of those people who moved eventually to Poland, his family, but his Rebbe's Rebbe, remember, Yaakov Polak, was the first one to set up yeshiva in Poland. So you're talking about the early 1400s. So Yaakov Polak was beside the ones in Neil. There was a little girl that married off by her mother and her brothers, and she wanted to break up the marriage. So he himself could be in the basement, and they broke up the marriage, invoking the Mishnayos that did with him. So at the time, many of the Rabbanim were upset at him because they felt that this is something that was so rare. Even then, it was so rare. They felt that people just weren't going to understand what's going on. People were going to think the Nation Sish is going through without a get. They thought people were going to get so confused that it's just a very, very bad public policy to have meals anymore. We should insist on a real get. And Yaakov Polak said that if it was good enough for Chazal, basically, it's good enough for me. The Mishnah says you can do it, you can do it. So the Ramah, in the end of Evan Ezra quotes, said his Rebbe did it, and he got yelled at and screamed at, and he did it anyway. But Lamai said, I don't know of any case since then that we've actually had a miyun. So Rashi tells us that when you have a miyun, so how many dayanim do you need for a miyun? So the Mishnah says you need three. Well, v'shlosha v'inan. So you require three dayanim for a miyun. Why is that? Because when Chazal made up this principle of miyun, so they patterned it after a din deraisa. It's a common theme we have by din derabanan. When Chazal made up din derabanan, so they patterned them after din deraisa. There's a concept in the Torah, and now we're going to institute a din derabanan, and we're going to follow many of the rules, many of the halachas that govern the din deraisa. We're going to govern this as well. So a simple example is the din min haTorah of tefila. A person is tamei, they go to the mikvah, they become tahor. The tilas yadayim was made up by the chachamim. If I'm really tamei, I got to the mikvah. So the idea that my hands are tamei and I can somehow wash water over them and make them tahor, that's the din min derabbanan. but still called the Tikkun Rabbanike, the Raisa Tikkun. Many of the halachas that govern Tvila Saguf govern the Tilas Adayim as well, even though the details are only with the Rabbanan, but called the Tikkun Rabbanike, in the Raisa Tikkun. Well, let's say we have certain, a Yom Tov, we have a Purim. So Purim is a Yom Tov that was made up by the Chachamim, but called the Tikkun Rabbanike, in the Raisa Tikkun. They patterned it after some of the celebrations that we have on other Yom Tov, the Raisa. So some of the mitzvah sayom that we do, the way we celebrate, different things that we do on Purim, or ke'ed the deraisas of other yom tov deraisas. So that idea exists here as well. That since Chazal made up the institution of miyun, they patterned it after the deraisa de kedin, and just as the deraisa de kedin requires a beis din, so too the derabbanan de kedin of miyun requires a beis din as well. The only thing that's not clear in this Rashi is what was that deraisa exactly? What exactly are we patterning miyun after? So lichora, it means a get. It means b'daraisa, the way to break up a marriage is to a get. When you have a marriage deraisa, it requires a get deraisa. When you have this very low-level marriage derabbanan, it suffices with a miyun, which is a derabbanan. So maybe that's what Rashi meant, that just as the deraisa of get requires three, so too the derabbanan of miyun requires three as well. So who said the deraisa of get requires a three? Where did we ever find that you need a get, you need a basin for a get? We only found it by the Fari Nechta and by Yer Aydek Fia. So that's what many Acharonim write. That's what Rashi is drawing at. That means Miun is like a Get Aydek Fia, if you think about it. Because a Get Aydek Fia is we're removing a woman from a husband, even though the husband really doesn't want it. He's really upset. He really does. I mean, he really halachically wants to give the get. But we don't really think he wants to. I mean, we believe he wants to, but he's not saying it at least up front. So that idea of removing a woman from a husband, al karcho, min haTorah, that exists. But again, I think fina. And that kind of a get requires three. So too, miyun, which is a derabbanan, we're removing the woman from the husband against that he doesn't want. He wants to remain married to this girl. But she's saying, I don't want him anymore. So she's coming to Beis Din, and she's breaking up this marriage. That idea of breaking up a marriage, al karcho, the husband, that only has its roots in Beis Din Midaraisa, with a get Aydek Kfiya. So once again, we have really three sources, two explicit in Chazal, one Rashi's Taitz, Rashi's Pshat, the Mishnah in Chazal and Sanhedrin, and all three of these cases are speaking about a Beis Din present for a get, but none of them are classic get. One's talking about a Beis Din from Fainecha. Two of them are talking about a get Aydek Kfiya. We still have not yet seen any case in 90 blot of a seches gittin or 100 plus blot of a seches Sanhedrin that says black on white every single get that's given requires a basis. There doesn't seem to be any source for that. So forget. Maybe we'll look at something that doesn't exist. Maybe you know, exactly that is it. Maybe no basis is required for a get. Maybe there is no such halacha. Only when you have the unique situations of farinechta, where you have a get aydek kfiya, then we discuss the requirement of the beis din. So hopefully we have to see tomorrow, is that true? Is this conclusion that we seem to be drawing is that not that it is no din for of a beis din, or maybe there's something that we're missing here. Maybe there is some kind of a reason that we should insist on a beis din for a get. We'll have to see with the Shem tomorrow what that should or should not be.
That mean is mutual. Is he getting a get? Mutual. He wants to end the marriage too.
No, he doesn't have to. He can't. If he does, he can.
And then it has to be a kosher get.
Yeah. And then it takes out all the luck. And then she does it with Cohen. And then if she does it the easier way, this meal, then none of them have the case of the get.
That's from tomorrow also.
I found it.